need to write a book
too. No pressure.
I'll write a book if you write songs. How does that sound? I see. I sense the faith coming out. Seriously. I've got a message this morning, just very quickly. You know, in Jeremiah, it talks about God and the symbolicness of what Israel is in his hands. Nothing but a plop of clay that's on a wheel. Does the clay have any mastermind of what to design, and is it able to design for itself and with itself?
Nah.
As my, the vernacular for little Brooklyn.
Nah.
Clay doesn't do anything by itself. It needs a mastermind. It needs a hand. It needs a brain who has an image of what it wants it to be and what it wants it to become. The amazing thing about ourselves is that we are vessels of clay, earthen jars that God created in his own image. But with that, we have to realize, you know, sometimes we can get to a place in our lives and we can get really aggro and we don't like what's happening. We want things to change and we can go, I don't like the way I am, and I, But God just sort of like feels that little lump and that clay going around, and he says, okay, well, just, he's not finished with it yet. And he's creating something with our lives over time. And his hands are amazing, aren't they? Who here has been walking with the Lord a long time? Don't you think you're an amazing person? Some of you are lying because you don't believe it. How many here have an old vase or some old piece of something, knick-knack or whatever, that's old, that was handed down to you or that you've had for a long time? Sue, you've got? Anyone else? Yeah. Do you just sort of like put that helter-skelter, put it anywhere in the house, let the kids play with it? No, it's prized. Do you know something? What we fail to realize, Ken, is the older you and I get, the more prized we are becoming in the presence of God, because we're still walking with him in his image. Precious are the saints. Precious are the saints. And it starts with people like you. It starts with young people. It starts when you receive Jesus Christ. That's when it starts. How beautiful to see young people, young children coming up in the knowledge of the Lord, who have been formed in God's image, and watch them grow, and watch the little boops come out, and watch God start all over again, and cause that vessel to become an astounding creation within his hands. And then the older that thing gets, the more precious it becomes to himself. And not only to himself, but to the body of Jesus Christ. Just because you're older and more mature-er, don't think you don't have value. You've got great value today, and I'm not just going to talk to older people. But I want us to look at a few things, because we're jars, we're earthen jars that have been made in God's image. God put his glory in clay pots. That's my message. I'm finished. No, I'm not. You know, in reading the Old Testament, I've read it a lot, and I've read the Bible a lot, and I was sharing yesterday. I asked a question with all the people that were there, but I told them not to raise their hands or make any gestures whether they do or not. I says, but did anyone get up here? I asked them, did anyone get up this morning and read the Word? I need the Word every day. It's my life. It's my breath from heaven. Sometimes I don't understand it, so God has to give a revelation. Sometimes I can get something and it just gives me a kickstart for the rest of the week or the month. It's our lifeline. The Bible, the Word of God, is our lifeline, because these earthen vessels, you know, we have to realize is that taking the life out of us, this body, this clay, just drops to the ground. But the Spirit lives and gives life to it and gives it the kick and gives it all the different functions that we've been made with, all the different things that we've got in our makeup. What a wonderful God, what a powerful God, what an awesome God, what a wonderful construction that He's created. My goodness. And that what that does for me, it sort of like helps me to realize when I get cantankerous, which is not often. Ronnie Van Kempen, a long time ago, we were sitting at the table playing a game of cards, and Art, a lot of times, he'd get cranky because I'd say, "I got it," and I'd have the wrong hand, and he'd get really upset or whatever. Or we'd be doing something, and she'd call him, I think I could say this, "You cantankerous old bugger." We can get like that sometimes, even young. Cantankerous. But you know, God's forgiveness is there. And I think sometimes we make God laugh. Sometimes in our worst form, we can make God laugh, because it's like looking at a little child trying to do something, and they're so agitated. "I can't do it, I can't. I'm going to try it." And they get up, and they try to do it again, and they fall down. I was watching little Levi this morning trying to walk after Mama through the door, and he's boop, boom, boop, boom, boop, boom, bum on the floor, legs up, bum on the floor, legs up, bum on the floor, legs up. He's learning. He makes God laugh. He made me laugh this morning, man. Precious little child. But you know what do I get when I look in the Old Testament and the New Testament, especially the Old? A lot of people back there. And I get to see, the more I read, is that God used them, and because He used them, and I see what they've done and how they did it, how they failed, and how they got up, and how God won anyways. He uses people just like me. He uses me. He uses people just like you. Lumps of clay that have little blotches, that need God's assistance, that need God's direction, that need God to prod them on the way and sometimes laugh His head off when you make mistakes that seem overwhelming to you. I had a bill that was absolutely overwhelming to us, that almost caused our house to be sold, but we stood firm. And I was in my room crying. I've shared this before, weeping. And I says, "Lord, how?" And He says, "Pick that thing up. Pick that debt paper up." And He says, "Don't you think I've got enough in my treasury to pay for that thing?" And so I started to laugh. He says, "Keep on laughing." And I kept on laughing. And it was over in a fairly short time, because I think otherwise we'd still be paying on some of that. Because of a lump, a little error, or something that went wrong in my being. God saw it. God just said, "You need to laugh." So I started to laugh. There's healing in laughing. There's healing when we realize, okay, I'm really cantankerous this morning, Lord. I'm facing this huge problem. Do you think you can help me? Well, don't you think? While we're looking at God, "Can you?" and asking questions, "Can you?" He's got all of the solar system in His hands making it work. And the rest of the universe that He stretched out, that man's still trying to find out about. Praise God, man. What a big God we serve. He's bigger than our problem. So we can see that God used everyday kinds of people, just like you and me, to do mighty things for His kingdom. They were vessels of clay, but they were honorable in what they did to God. Do you know the difference between when we're talking about earthen vessels, we're talking about a treasure that is inside that God has placed in us. It's not made by hands. It's not made of something that's thought up by God. God created and God is what he put in us. His glory. Do you not know that you are the vessels of the Holy Ghost? You've been bought with a price. Earthen vessels. And sometimes we can get to a point, I've seen it, and I just got to drive myself back all the time. I think it's my nature. I've got to get on my knees all the time because I don't want anything to do with taking any acclamation that belongs to God. I don't like it. I hate it. And I'll turn my back on it. I'll sit on the ground. I'll move away from people that are that way. Let them take care of it. God, you take care of them. Treasure in an earthen vessel. But some people, and there's a lot of people actually that do it, when they start to get to an epitome of their ministry, God begins to use them in a mighty way. All of a sudden, people begin to look at them and look at the earthen jar and start to look at them as heroes. It's easy, isn't it? I think they should be considered in our lives as people who are, yes, they're heroes. Yes, they are great examples. But man, it's God's excellence that's working in them. God's excellent kabod, glory, heavyweight that's caused everything in that earthen vessel that's really nothing without it. God, it's God's excellence. Never, never let or get yourself to a point where when people start to look at you and they start to see God working mightily in you, don't want any part of it. You're seeing the excellence of God in my life. That's all it is. God's working something out. He says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and in due season he'll raise you up and cause you to execute powerful things in his name. Let's take a look at a scripture I've got here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, this is really interesting, verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Our brother Mark Harwood mentioned about that. If you look at the Bible in Genesis, the sun was not created first. It was created on the fourth day. So the light we're talking about here is God's glory. Do you not know that the same light that shone at the beginning now shines in you? Ebony, did you get that? Whoa, that's powerful. The God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Take a look at verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, it's interesting when you look at some of the clay vessels that God used. Why does God use clay vessels? Why did he create us with, like, in this image, like what we can label ourselves, I'm an earthen vessel. Why did he choose to form us in his image as a clay vessel, earthen vessel? So we don't get confused. So we don't get confused of the difference. Who is on the outside containing that which is on the inside? Who shone the light in the darkness? Kabod. Heavyweight, God's glory inside, who lives in us and does all of these marvelous things. The first thing that God does when a person's born again is to shine his kabod into our spirit man, and there's an explosion of life that takes place. We're born again. It's that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, power that just caused the deadness of Christ to rise out of the depths of the belly of this earth and out of the grave to new life. And he's within us this morning. Praise God. Let's just get a perspective of what's going on. So there's a difference between the container. Yeah, we can have big muscles. We can be real tall. We can be very athletic. And it's all good. Nothing wrong with that. We should take care of our earthen vessels. Yes, exercise does profit, even though it profits a little. But I tell you what, you better make sure that you're taking care of your body while you've got it. Because God gave it to you, and it was a good one when it started. And if you got a couple of tires hanging around, or if you've got a couple of kegs hanging out, or if you got something that you know is going wrong, if you know something, let me tell you this. Let me share this. My grandfather, my dad's side, died at the age of 56 years old. I never met him. He died before I was born. He had black lung because he worked in the coal mine. He also smoked heavily. He died young. And then my uncles, all of them, they had heart attacks and they had strokes and all these different things at early ages. My Uncle Sam lost almost all of his teeth at a very early age. Smoking, drinking, not taking care of himself. You can't expect your body to do anything good unless you do something good. My mother always said, if you take care of your teeth, they'll take care of you. And I still to this day brush my teeth. Very good. And they're still working for me. You have to do something. But what I'm trying to say is the fact that there's a difference between the outside, and we need to take care of this body of ours. What is wrong with a person? You know, I still weightlift, and I'm going to be 70 in July. I'm not saying that I'm perfect, but man, I feel good. I feel good. And I've changed certain things in my diet and drinks that I drink, certain juices that I've incorporated over the years, and I keep on drinking these things. But I know that it's the prayer and it's the power of God that keeps me going first. But he's given me the knowledge to take care of my earthen vessel. Let's move on. How's that sound? I can see some of the eyebrows raising up here. Let's move on. You know, even at our spiritual optimum, how can I say this without making it sound? Well, the Bible says it. Our righteousness is as what? Does the Bible say? I can't hear. Filthy rags. Our righteousness, our bodies, our containers before God are as filthy rags. No one can stand before God with our bodies the way they are. That's why we're going to be changed. We will be in the presence of God in the new kingdom, in God's kingdom coming. But this earthen vessel's got to drop off. It's got to be changed. Or we'll be consumed. So even in our optimum, this brings a bit of humility, in our spiritual walk with God and the things that we begin to do in God, leading people to Jesus, some pastoring, some doing the fivefold ministry gifts, all the equipped saints doing things on the streets, everything that we do, to the very epitome of what it could be taken to, falls short of the glory of God in the natural, because our flesh, this earthen vessel, still has to be renewed. And God is, he's promised to cause that to happen. And so, I like to take a look at the people in the Old Testament, especially. The New Testament's really interesting too. But some of the people in the Old Testament, they're very interesting. Like, you know, you got Job, what happened to him, and an earthen vessel, and Elijah, and you've got King David, and on and on and on it goes to some of these people. But, you know, let's just take Elijah. Here's a powerful man of God, and in the epitome of his spirituality, what is he doing? He's called to take care of those who are worshiping Balaam. The prophets are worshiping Baal. And so he organizes all this group of people to come together on the mountain. And what do they do? We all know the story. They built altars. Elijah said, well, you build yours first, and you rant and you rave, and however you're going to worship your god or gods, you take care of that first, and then when you're finished, I'll take care so you can see my God as I worship him and what he does. And on that day, we see Elijah, to make a long story short because of time, we see Elijah call down fire from heaven and consume the altar, and all the Baal prophets are destroyed in one day. But he comes down from the mountain. That's the epitome up on the top, in his flesh, right? With God in him, working through him. And all of a sudden, on not too far after that, we see him running with his skirt up like this, running from a woman, Jezebel, for his life. He's running for his life. He's down low. He was up high, but he went down low. We see in the Bible all of these people, it's like looking at their lives, it's like looking at the roller coaster, up and down, up and down. Have you ever been that way? Have you ever had the ups? And then you have the downs. Oh, man, she's going, and it's further down this time, and it's faster. But what a spiral all of a sudden. And then we start going back, and praise God, hallelujah. And then we start going down again. Oh, God, I hate this life. Up and down, and God's just looking at our lives, and he says, you haven't changed. My containers are all the same. They need me. You need God. I need God. Whether it's in my low parts and my lowest feelings of what I'm going through. It could be lowest in health. It could be lowest in spirituality, doing things for God. It could be the worst things that I'm going through. And then all of a sudden, up on the top, who brought me up to the top again? It was God and his glory with his hand on my life. And it's the same with your life. Praise God. Oh, let's not stop there. One of my favorite characters is King David. And you see this kid before he became a king. You know, the anointing of God was on him because he was anointed by Samuel. But then he finds out, you know, like he goes to see his brothers to bring cheese and whatever else and bread. And all of a sudden he hears about this giant, Goliath, who's cursing God's people. And he sees the Israelite army on one side of the valley and the Philistines on the other side, and he's just thinking like, well, what's going on? And then he sees this man come down, and firsthand he hears this cursing going on to God's people. And all the things that he's putting out, would just send, I dare you to send one man out or somebody out to challenge me. Well, David took the challenge. And not to get into all the little nitpick gritty stuff that he did with the armor and stuff like that, but what did David do? In the epitome of his whole life that started his walk with God in the presence of people, this little boy, compared to this over 9'6" giant, Nephilim background, got his slingshot and went after him and knocked him for a 6 to start off, knocked him square in the forehead, knocked him down. He wasn't dead yet. Ran up to the giant while he's sort of like moving around, and he's sort of lost all of his senses, gets his sword and slashes his head off and holds his head up like this, man, to the armies. And all of a sudden, you know, the Spirit of God filled the army of the Israelites, and off they ran to chase all these other Philistines, and they won the battle. But then not long after that, like even maybe a little while after that, you see that's a high for David. Then all of a sudden you see King David, and he's up on his balcony, and he's looking and lusting after a woman he's already married. See, isn't that, now I know, men, you don't have to nod, You probably feel embarrassed to nod, but you know, that was the beginnings of internet. You know what I'm talking about? High up and you pick things up. You know where I'm coming from today? You may not want to nod your head here. When you go home, nod your head when nobody can see you. And if your wife feels you going, slap him one. Do you know what I'm talking about? We're people here. Up and down, up and down, up and down. You know, we can look at David, we can look at Elijah and all these other people, but it just shows us that God uses vessels of earthen value, and he places himself in them, and they receive marvelous value. There's excellence inside his vessels, and God is the one who gets all the glory. I guess I can use Jesus as an example in the New Testament. You say, well, he didn't sin. Well, he didn't. Thought I was going to say he did, didn't you? Jesus, in God's plan, was the epitome of God's plan for our salvation. And it was prophesied well and truly at the very beginning of our creation in this world and mankind. God said that the devil was going to try to smash the foot of Jesus, but Jesus was going to mortally wound and smash the head of the devil somewhere down the line. But it was going to come through woman's seed. Woman does not have seed. Man has seed. And Satan has been watching, carefully watching back then all that was going on of people who were anointed and called of God, including women, because they come out of seed too. He kept on looking for this anointed Messiah. And in the meantime, he had hundreds of thousands of children killed in different times in history because he was looking to slay and stop Jesus from coming. Well, nevertheless, Jesus did come right on time. And when Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, God's seed in her, you find that as he was being conceived in this womb of the woman, he was all God. He was becoming and taking on the form of the earthen vessel, but in its purest state, all God. God didn't say that you were God. He says you are lower than God. He says, but you are like a God, like I am. He was God Almighty inside flesh at the very beginning, and God recognized it. But it's interesting in Jesus' life how as he was beginning to minister, are you following me now? I'm just about done. How he was walking along and starting to do his ministry, and he had people follow him, and because of some of the things that he said, he had people leave and doubt and hate him and want to kill him. He had his disciples, many disciples at one time that followed him. And sometimes one thing that he would say or an illustration that he would give, they would stop following him. But it all boiled down basically to his immediate close 12 disciples. Interesting to take a look at them. We have in those 12 disciples, Thomas, who doubted. God was right there, Jesus in flesh. God was right there, doubting Thomas. Follow Jesus. Jesus died, was resurrected, don't believe. There's his roller coaster was going. Flesh. It's fickle. Now, it doesn't just end with that. We see that there are disciples that were fickle as well. You had those that denied. You had those that were skeptical, and you had those that didn't have faith to believe that they could actually feed 5 and 10,000, 20,000 people, but they just saw Jesus do something. They didn't believe. It's always interesting, too, though, you find that in one of the disciples was a devil. Now, for pastors, this is not a good ratio to clip in, because if we've got 12 leaders, one of them is going to be a devil. Is that a good ratio? Do I have to look for that? All of us are fickle in our flesh, including your pastor. We all have our ups and downs. But the amazing thing is that life is full of tempestuous things that cause us to sort of ride the wave. But I want us to look at a couple of scriptures. What does Ephesians 4:14 say? It says this, that we should no longer be children. So that means there's time for growing up. If you have a child and you keep on treating the child and you don't teach them, and other people also have a tendency not to teach them and bring them up in right ways, they'll remain a child. And because of that, they're tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Let's take a look at another scripture. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19 says this. This hope we have as an anchor. What's the hope? Jesus Christ is our hope. The anointing of God, the person, the Holy Spirit who lives within ourselves. The Word of God is our hope in situations. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Notice it's not on the flesh, it's the soul. Both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. God has given us permission to go boldly to his throne. But he also has told us that he lives within us. Jesus said the kingdom of God is where? It's within us. And the last verse, I think I've quoted this so many times, like in Hebrews 13:8, the one who lives inside of us will cause us to remain faithful if we allow ourselves to remain faithful on the roller coaster ride. Jesus Christ, the same. We may be going like this, but the one who lives inside of us is going like this, straight across. No marks, no moves, no bumps, no little dips, nothing changes. He never, ever changes. And his promise to us is, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I pray, God, this morning that, you know, in spite of looking at ourselves as a pot of clay, we're still precious to God. And no matter how old the clay is, we're still precious to God. But there's something about the flesh, what it envelops, it's the excellence of God. Amen. I think that was good Baptist teaching this morning. Amen. Okay. Bless you. Have some, if you can, have some time with having some coffee and fellowship. Have some fellowship. If you don't, well, have a cup of coffee.